Hey, we need your support to keep the podcasts flowing. Go to explorationsearlylearning.com/support to learn how. One of the big things you can do is shop Amazon with the link we provide. You buy your cat food, you buy your kids' books, you buy whatever it is you buy on Amazon, you pay the regular price. We get a small percentage of it. Everybody wins. A lot of people are doing it. It really supports the shows, and we really appreciate it. Give it a try. Thanks. Welcome to the Child Care Bar and Grill Podcast. Jeff Johnson coming to you live from upstairs studio. Still a little bit chilly from using my sweatshirt to sop up spilt tea, but I'm not crying about it. Haven't shed a tear about it. You hear me sniffling in the last two episodes. Lisa Murphy, Lisa Murphy is here via telephone. Hi, Lisa Murphy.
Hello.
Lisa Murphy, I want to talk to you about I've been breaking up with some technology lately and been kind of
what do you mean by technology?
Technology. I've been first thing I've done is I have pretty much abandoned my personal Facebook page. I haven't posted on it for over a year. It exists because I have to have a personal page to have a business page.
Exactly.
And so first I wasn't posting there, and then I stopped. I kind of stopped letting anybody else post there. And then this last week I took my picture down, so there's not even a profile picture there. And then most recently I've deleted the Facebook app as a whole from my phone. Mm. I've still got the business app. There's a separate app that's like for the business page. Yeah, so I've still got that. But the other, and so I've pretty much, other than my work page, I call it, broken up with Facebook. Mostly I found it delightful, still using Facebook Messenger because there's a lot of people, that's the most convenient way for them to connect, and I guess I'm cool with that for now. The other thing I've been working on is about 2 weeks ago I decided I was going to break up with Google as much as possible. Uh-huh. And so I'm done with Gmail. Done with the Chrome browser, which I loved and have been using for years. Gotten rid of Google Drive, and I'm weaning myself off of Google. Still haven't figured out a good alternative for YouTube, and I love the Maps application, but you know, I'm de-Googling my life. And then the other thing I've done is on my phone, I've gotten rid of just about all the notifications. And so I still have some calendar stuff pop up and some email stuff pop up, but then I don't have Vibrator or the audio notifications. So mostly I've pruned all that stuff out of my life.
Are you wanting to, I mean, I'll ask the interview question. Was there something that led to the breakup? Were you just kind of done? Did you need a break? Were you addicted?
I think it's multifaceted. I think productivity was going down because I was always looking at the damn phone. And so I was finding myself taking myself off task in a lot of situations to check every damn notification that was coming in on the phone. I found Facebook, you know, if I want to check things out, I can do it from my desktop. Not having it on the phone means that I'm being less distracted by it. It was getting to be kind of a stressor thing, feeling that you needed to check out the Facebook. I love pictures of people's dogs and cats and cappuccinos and their adventures and that kind of stuff. I know. I mean, I like checking in on that stuff.
And their dog balls.
Yeah. I did not post to the internet. I saved that sexy talk for the podcast. I like checking in on people that way and seeing what's going on every once in a while, but it was getting to be too much. And so I pruned that away. The Google thing is, for years, and they changed this recently. Their motto used to be, don't be evil or whatever it was. And I think they are not doing that. They have some great technology, but recently they're doing some search stuff, trying to break into the China market. That's going to be working hand in hand with the Chinese Communist government on tracking people, and it just felt icky and dirty a lot of the ways they were tracking people and being invasive into people's lives. And I thought if I didn't break up with them now, it would be harder to do at some future point. And I got to tell you, it's hard to do now when you're used to using all of those platforms. And so I don't really know how much of a podcast this needs to be, but I think we do find ourselves a lot of times getting very wrapped up in what's going on these platforms, and it does pull us away from other parts of our lives. Your thoughts?
So I will comment to that because I wasn't sure what my role in this particular episode was going to be. However, what I will say, what it's calling to my mind is that often, especially as early childhood people, we're quick to talk about our concerns with kids and technology or screens or being online and how it's eroding, communication skills and social skills, et cetera, et cetera. Very rare do I hear the people who are pointing the finger turn that finger back to their own behaviors as adults. And I think we can be hyper involved in kids' relationships to screens and technology without realizing that we might have a role in that our own self, to turn the mirror, so to speak, and do some reflecting on our own use of technology. I'm not saying to stop paying attention to the kids, but I think it's very important that we turn that back onto ourselves as well. I totally get it. I mean, I can be the same way. To me, it's very cyclical. I'll go through phases where I call it putting myself on a timeout, just because it's the shorthand that works for me. Yeah. And I'll delete all the apps off my phone for the same reason. It's easy. It's quick. It's right there. It's always either in your hand or your back pocket. And to actually have to open up the laptop and log in and get on. I mean, you really got to be curious about Facebook if you're going to fire up your hard drive. You know what I'm saying? To make it a little harder. And I know that I can be, I know that that works for me. The minute there's extra steps, my desire, that dopamine is already, it's gone away. The need for the dopamine, I've already channeled it into something else. But if it's right there, that instantaneous crap,
I get it. Yeah, and I mean, another part of this is that so many of those platforms, whether it's YouTube or Facebook or the phone notifications, they are designed to feed our brain's pleasure centers. They're designed to release
that dopamine.
Yeah. They're designed to get us all stoned on dopamine. And I don't want to make it sound more dramatic than it is, but I even though I've turned notifications off on my phone, I find myself checking notifications checking my phone and unlocking it and seeing what's there. And then there's not 30 notifications waiting for me, and I'm like, aw. And so I've been going through that for about a week and a half now, where my brain's going, aw, but Jeff, we wanted that dopamine.
You're detoxing yourself.
Yeah, well, yeah. And so it's really been kind of a weird and strange thing, but I found myself I'm being a little bit more productive, maybe a lot more productive, because I'm not being distracted. The emails can wait till email time, because there's very rarely something that comes in via email that has to be dealt with in the next 30 seconds. And so I'm staying on tasks with other projects longer, and it's I don't know. It's just it's been an experiment. I might fail. I mean, 2 months from now, all that stuff might be back on my phone. It's
yeah, but pause.
Yeah.
Pause.
Yeah.
I would not call that failing at all.
Well, that's true.
I have been intentionally in the past, you know, been taken all of it off of the phone, and then intentionally after, let's use the word recalibrate, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm able to put it back on. And then I kind of have a more not so needy relationship with that particular app or function, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So it's not a failure. It's that I gave myself the break that I needed, and, you know, I'm putting it back on. So my home, I don't have cable. I don't have any of that stuff.
Uh huh.
So I have a hotspot for my laptop to get on Wi-Fi. All right. So then I got Roku for my TV. So mm-hmm. I was like, okay, so I can watch, because I'm a junkie for comedy on Netflix, and not comedy like comedy shows. Like, I watch stand-up comedy constantly. Anyway, so I have that's all I would use. I'd watch Netflix and I'd watch comedy.
Time out. Do you watch comedy for the comedy, or do you watch comedians because it's good practice for stage presence kind of stuff? Watching.
Both.
Well, yeah.
Both.
me too.
Both. I write notes. Dude, I take notes. It's crazy.
We're such nerds.
So I know, right? So then you know, I watched all the Game of Thrones, and then I watched. And anyway, the long story short is apparently a hotbox is not the ideal way to stream on Netflix and the Roku. So my Roku was like we had to go to AT&T and negotiate like the bill because stupid head here didn't realize. Anyway, so point is that it was just blasting, and I never crossed my mind. So a month ago, 3 weeks ago, I don't know, it's all relative, I was like, shit, this is crazy. So I like went through the house like a madman, like unplugging the Roku. It was like a movie. I'm like, get out, you crazy Roku, and stop eating all of my data. I'm online trying to figure out like why the hotbox is out of control.
So you were doing that through your phone account? I mean, streaming it through your
yeah.
Oh shit.
Right, stupid head. So I unplugged the Roku from the TV, pulled it out of the wall because in my brain, like, it still was going to be connected. Take it all out, put the Roku stick that you put in the TV, put it away, dissolve the Roku account, like, got rid of everything, and then, you know, recalibrated. So, like, we've gone now into the billing cycle without this, mostly as a checks and balance to make, okay, is that really, was somebody stealing my password? You know, whatever. We had to, like, do some troubleshooting and whatever. It's no big deal.
Uh-huh.
What's the point, Lisa? The point is that because I don't have cable, Roku was how I was watching shit on the device in the living room, right? So I haven't had it. Now, granted, this is all, like, self-imposed, right? It's not like anything bad happened. I mean, I could have upped the data use. I mean, I could have done a lot of things, but I was like, no, you know, we're going to, like, a little social experiment and see what happens. It's like fucking Little House on the Prairie around here, let me tell you, because you don't realize how many times, I didn't realize, I can't say you, I got to own it. I didn't realize how often when I am at home that I was sitting down and just turning it on and watch it.
Uh-huh.
And now it's not an option. And so I have gotten, to your productivity comment, I've gotten more work done. Now, and I'm not saying that you should always fill this stuff with work, right? Because that's another
issue. No, because let's be honest, you've had a couple cocktails, too.
Well, actually, you've been cutting out that, too.
Oh,
I mean, it's
shit.
Crazy. I know, right? So I'm like, I fucking need a hobby. So I... Today, after we recorded, I kid you not, I was going to go to Michael's and buy like a cross stitch, like a needlepoint thing. Something to do. I'm like, I got nothing. Not nothing. That's not the right word.
Uh-huh.
I'm just saying,
I need...
you don't realize how much time
uh-huh.
you're wasting that's me being judgmental. Like, I have, my point is that I have way more free time the last couple of weeks. And when I say free time, I mean time, which now I'm like, oh, maybe now all those projects that I always said I didn't have enough time for, like, huh, all of a sudden they're getting done. What's the denominator, right? Is that I don't got the big old box on in the living room.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I think there's room every now and again to recalibrate. I mean, I never really was a TV show watching person, but I clearly had a Netflix problem.
Yeah. Yeah. And I've been there too. And I love technology. And so it's kind of a bittersweet thing I've been going through because there's so many positive ways to use it and so many good things you can do with it. And so I guess you talk about recalibration. I'm just recalibrating the ways I use it.
Totally.
I'm still searching stuff online. I'm just not using Google to do it. I'm still using a browser. I'm just not using the Google browser. And the notification stuff, it's just a way of reconfiguring the way I'm doing things and trying to work more efficiently. And because the way I was just going down a dopamine addiction spiral. Oh my God. It feels so good when
and it's totally intentional on the app. I mean, that's their job.
Yeah, because they want to grab our attention, and so they can squirt an ad at us now and a while, so they can monetize us. And you know, and part of it, I think, for me is a privacy thing, because I mean, Google, all of them keep a lot of information. And the thing is, it's not like I'm doing anything exciting anybody gives a fuck about online, but I think that privacy is just kind of disappearing in the world. So part of it is that as well too. And I don't want to sound like this is some oh Jeff virtue signaling or anything. It's just because I don't care if do what you're gonna do. Just for me at this moment in life, it's just been something I'm trying to do, and it's been working out pretty successfully. So if you've had those thoughts about breaking up with your technology a little bit and getting some more control, I think there are ways to do that. I guess is the point of the episode. Now that we've talked about it for nearly 20 minutes,
right? Yeah, I'm like you. I only have a personal Facebook page because you have to have one. And honestly, because I do travel so much, to be quite honest, it's how kind of my family knows I'm still around and still alive.
Oh yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
You know, oh, she's in this place, and probably if I had better like habits of that, you know, they would know where I am. But a lot of times, like my parents, they don't know where I am because I checked into an airport, you know.
Yeah.
And actually, not to take the conversation down a potentially morbid path, but I had my meeting with the woman who's writing my will. And I had, like, so we went through all, she asked all the questions, and she's putting together a draft. I'm like, okay, now I have some questions. I'm like, what about like your Facebook and after you die and your social media? And she's like, there's an entire section now, like a boilerplate of oh damn, she had a name for it. Anyway, there's a whole boilerplate template now in this section of law of dealing and managing with your social media afterwards, and to the point where, Tiff, it was the weirdest conversation. She was like, so how many, like, do you have, like, lots of points with hotels and airlines? And, you know, she's like, some of that can get willed, and she's like, you got to get online and read the terms of agreement.
Ugh.
And so then it started talking about, like, death and dying, and I was like, so let's paint this really weird picture. Like, let's say, you know, my plane crashed, and of course I'm not willing this, but let's say it did. And like, how would people know? How would people know that I die? And like, she's like, that's a really good question. And she's like, is that one of the reasons why you use the social media, right? Kind of like checking in. And I don't know if I really had a point to this, only other than, like, social media has become such a thing that now it's taken into consideration.
At that point, yeah.
At when you're writing your will.
So, Lisa Murphy, I'll do the service for you. If I happen to not be dead when you die, well, I am currently an admin on your Ooey Gooey page, so the podcast can be posted there. So I'll post a hey everybody, Lisa's dead.
Party at your house.
No, you can actually pre-write the post, and I'll have it saved someplace, and then I'll just post it. A picture of you with your tongue sticking out. That's how you tell somebody's dead. Speaking of technology, before we wrap this up, a couple of weeks ago, I'm looking in my yard, and I realize we've got three telephone lines coming into the side of my house, going over the yard, and they look really ugly. And considering we haven't had hardline phone service for about 10 years, I decided I need to get rid of those wires because they're just ugly. And it took me 15 minutes to figure out the local telephone company that owned the lines because, I mean, back in the day, it was like AT&T. It was always AT&T.
Right.
But the company has been bought out or renamed. I went through three names. I looked up who we'd had service with the last time we had service, and they'd been recreated like three times to some new company I'd never heard of. And then I got a hold of them, and they're got stuck for just about an hour and a half in their voicemail tree to get to the right place where I could talk to a human being, and then that was a 20-minute process to get a guy to come down and snip the lines off the side of the house. So talk about the evolution of technology.
What would you do if there was a zombie apocalypse?
I guess I would get my chainsaw and my axe out.
You would call somebody?
I wouldn't call. You know what? I looked at my phone when I was getting your number, and the last I've made three phone calls since I called you, and one of those was to Heather Shoemaker to record that podcast. So there's not a whole lot of calling going on in my life anyway.
No.
So,
but I remember that was always the rationale.
Yeah.
Was in case there was an emergency, you'd want to have a landline.
Of course, because
and then I'm like, but who would you call? You don't know anybody's number.
Yeah, you can't call anybody. Well, and that happened too because I deleted after apparently Facebook app had some control over my contacts. So when Heather Shoemaker and I were recording the other day, I go to dial her number, and her number's not there anymore because apparently it had been linked. It had been linked to that app. And so I had to go find it, and so, oh my gosh, it's been a very traumatic experience for Jeff. Not as bad as spilling the tea four episodes ago, but it's been a trying and revitalizing experience. Anything else on this topic before we wrap this sucker up?
Just something kind of silly.
Okay.
The foodie magazines that I get, there's a new restaurant that opened, and they have a phone in the restaurant. Fully wanting the intention to be that, like, you could be eating there and then somebody comes in and is like, Jeff, there's a call for you in the hallway. Like, they wanted that to be, like, that this place becomes such a familiar part of the community that they know that certain people could be found there. Is that kind of cool? Kind of a little romantic, old school little notion.
Oh, yeah, because back in like the old movies, they would like bring the phone to the table. It'd be like
right.
The old phone, and they'd have the long cord on it, and they'd bring it to.
I know, but I always wondered, like, how long is that fucking cord?
Yeah.
You know, like the phone comes out on a silver platter. Like, I want to be that guy.
Yeah, and fucking so waiters tripping working. Over it and shit. And oh, man.
Right, but it's on the wall. It's one of those old mom wall mounted with the dial with the round, you know, like
the rotary thingy.
Rotary phone. Uh-huh. And then I wondered, what a great sentiment, but how many people walking in are going to be like, what's this thing on the wall? You know, like,
what the hell's that? Is that a fax machine? I've never.
Yeah. Okay, I think we're done.
Let's wrap it up. Hey, this has been the Child Care Bar and Grill. Hey, I'm pruning back the technology, but the podcast is still there, and you don't want to – if you give up your technology, please don't give up the podcast. We need you because, you know, it gives us something to do with our time. Hey, thanks
with
for listening.
With
all our free time. Time for more podcasts. Thanks for tuning in. Back soon with another episode. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.